Production. Recorded live.
Amen. So we're beginning our teaching tonight, and we're talking about the prophet. And so we're going to look in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to start in chapter 4, which is really a reiteration of what we have been talking about. And I know that Ephesians 4 is already a familiar scripture because we have talked about it over and over and over again as we have been talking about this ministry of the prophet. And we already know that, you know, we cannot have a foundation for fivefold ministry without looking at this verse of scripture. And so we're going to look at Ephesians 4, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. And verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ." And tonight we're going to be talking about the perfecting ministry and the edifying ministry of the prophet. And so we're going to be going beyond just mere prophecy, because I know that we know that the prophet must prophesy, but there's more to the prophet's ministry than just prophesying, okay? And to edify means to build up, to lay the foundation for, to make strong. To perfect means to make mature, to make perfect or complete. And this is the purpose of having these fivefold gifts in the body, is that maturity comes to the body of Christ. Amen. We cannot come to the fullness of our maturity unless we have all these gifts, not just the gifts, not just the ministry of the prophet, but all of the gifts working together to bring maturity to the body of Christ, to bring growth to the body of Christ. Not for us to be walking around the church speaking in tongues or falling on the floor and whatever, but for us to be able to bring maturity to the body of Christ. And as we look at these verses, we have to talk about why is the prophet's ministry necessary for the New Testament church. And I know that a lot of people have, you know, tried to say, well, you know, there are no prophets today, and there are no fivefold ministry gifts today, that those gifts died with the apostles when they died. But one part of Ephesians that I want to look at is in verse 13, where it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man," or a mature man, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So if you want to know when will these gifts end, your answer is in verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man." And as we look at the church today, we know that the church is not mature as it should be. There is much that is lacking in the body of Christ, and the majority of the major reason why there's so much lacking in the body of Christ is because we don't have these gifts operating as they should. We have wonderful programs, you know, we have, you know, all kinds of services and conferences and whatever, but if we want to see people really, really mature, now I know we have church growth, you know, conferences and all that other kind of stuff, but what about individual growth for believers? This is what we need these gifts in operation for. We got to have the ministry of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist in operation, fully operating with liberty, without anybody trying to step on their neck and keep them from functioning and keep them from flowing. We need these gifts to flow if we're going to see us coming to the place of maturity, okay? And we'll talk about why this ministry of the prophet is so important to us being able to grow, because there's many facets of ministry in different areas that the ministry of the prophet will cover. The prophet doesn't just prophesy, and he's not just, you know, or she is not just looking into your life to try to tell you, well, you know, this is what thus saith the Lord. The prophet's ministry is greater than that. And so we're going to talk about those different areas that the prophet's ministry covers. Now, of course, these things are only, you know, to be used as a guide. This in no way covers absolutely every area that the prophet's ministry covers, but we're going to deal with quite a few areas that the prophet's ministry covers, and it's going to turn the light on for some of us so that we'll be able to understand why these ministries are necessary, why this ministry is necessary for the body of Christ to be able to function. Now, let's look in the book of Malachi, We're leaving the book of Ephesians, and let's look in the book of Malachi. We want to look in chapter 4. And this particular chapter, you know, and I know some of you are going to say, well, didn't this happen already? But we're going to lay a foundation for this, and then we're going to carry on so that you understand what we are talking about here. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Okay? Now, when we are talking about Elijah coming, we're talking about the fullness, you know, of this entire spectrum. You talk about the fullness of the ministry of the prophet. The prophet's ministry has to mirror that in some form of the spirit and the power of Elijah. Okay? Why is it necessary that we have the spirit and the power of Elijah? That is because any time that you have the spirit of Jezebel, Elijah must come. Any time that the spirit of Jezebel is in activity, you know, or she's reigning, or, you know, her influence is in the land, there must be a spirit and a power that manifests like that of Elijah. Now, we already know, amen, that John the Baptist's ministry was likened unto Elijah's ministry. And Jesus said, even if you can't believe that this is Elijah, and he was talking about that ministry that John the Baptist had, that forerunner spirit that confronted the spirit of the day. He called the Pharisees of that day a generation of vipers, because he knew what spirit they were in. They were just a bunch of religious nuts, and they were just trying to control everybody. That same spirit is in the land today. And in order for us to be able to function as God has ordained us to function, you must be able to deal with the spirit of Jezebel. Now, first of all, I'm going to backtrack for a minute. We're going to get back to Jezebel and the spirit of Elijah, but I want to talk to you about what the prophet's role is. Okay, we already know that the prophets played a foundational role in the early church, okay? And we see that in Ephesians 4. You'll also see that in Ephesians chapter 2, okay? We already know that Jesus gave these gifts to the body because he wanted the body to be able to grow and to be able to mature, okay? So that we wouldn't be stagnant, okay? Unlike what's going on in a lot of churches today, you know, because, you know, I'm finding out that people are, you know, and I've seen and I've listened to folks talk, and I'm praying with them and encouraging them. We have folks who are in church, and their pastors will acknowledge them as evangelists. Their pastors will acknowledge them as elders. But it's something about that ministry of the prophet that they don't want to be bothered with. And I'm not sure if it's because, you know, people have been walking around acting kooky, you know, and prophesying and, you know, calling money lines. I don't know what, you know, different people's ideas are about why they can't acknowledge that ministry. But I'm telling you, if we're going to function and if we're going to have the fullness of God in our midst, this is one of the ministries that we've got to have. It's not the only ministry, but it's definitely one of the ministries that we have to have. We understand in the book of Malachi where God is speaking through Malachi, and God is saying that if he don't send this spirit before he comes, that he's going to smite the earth with a curse. There has got to be a word that comes that brings the people back to repentance, that brings the people back to the heart of God, that turns our mind away from carnality and foolishness, and gets us, amen, in the place to really hear from God. And that's what the ministry of the prophet is supposed to do. The prophet's responsibility is not to try to collect honorariums and, you know, to have his itinerary packed. And, you know, and I say his, I don't mean, you know, that it's just a him, but him or her, they don't need to just, you know, try to line folks up to try to prophesy to them, to control them and different things of that nature. But this gift is vital to the growth, to the edifying, to the perfecting of the body of Christ. We have got to see these gifts back in place, okay? And especially in the day in which we live, in the midst of all these false religions, and in the midst of, you know, all these people and these things that we are placing, you know, putting in place of God and calling it God, we have got to have something real. And it's the prophet's job to keep what's real before the people. What, you know, the things that God has ordained, that's the prophet's responsibility, to be in the presence of God and to leave from the presence of God and bring to the people what is God's reality. Okay? And so we got to, you know, we got to get that in our spirit. Now, a prophet is someone who functions and serves as a spokesman for God, okay? And this is what you have to understand. Anybody calling themselves a prophet, you have to understand that, you know, yes, we already know that the scripture tells us that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. But I want to reemphasize that point, that you really are not your own. The message is not yours. It's God's message. Your responsibility is to speak on behalf of God and say what thus saith the Lord. Okay, later on in the lesson, we're going to deal with how to handle when people don't receive the message. Okay, because sometimes we feel like it's our responsibility to make sure that everybody receives when we have, you know, delivered a message, and that's not our responsibility. What you have to understand is that as a prophet, God wants you to understand that just like you got five fingers on your hand, and if one of those fingers were out of place, you would not be able to function the way that, you know, that you should in the fullness. Yes, you would be able to tie your shoe. You might even be able to write, but you would do it with a level of difficulty. And so this is why we have to understand that there's an importance, not just for the ministry of the prophet, but for all the gifts, for us to be in place. Because if we're missing one of those fingers, then our hand is going to be handicapped. Okay? And so we don't want to function with the handicap, naturally or spiritually. We want to be able to function and be, amen, be whole. We want to be able to do the whole work that God has set out and that he has ordained for us. And you have to understand that the prophet is an essential gift. He is significant, or she is significant, and God's prophets are indispensable. That's not something you can say, well, I can really do without it. Any gift that God has placed in the body, we need it. You cannot do without the gifts that God has placed in the body. Now, this doesn't say that because you are a prophet that you're supposed to have the attitude, well, you need me here in this house. And if I'm not here, then this house is not going to be blessed. That's the wrong spirit. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that you have to understand that you are a vital ministry to the body of Christ. And because of that, you have a responsibility to walk upright before the Lord and to carry yourself in such a way that God gets the glory out of your life. Now, I want to talk some more about Jezebel and Elijah. Let's talk about Elijah. And I want to tell you a little bit about what Elijah, you know, what his ministry consisted of, and a little history about Elijah. And, you know, sometimes we just think, oh, well, you know, Elijah was a prophet and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I often look to the example that's given to us in Scripture about Elijah because, you know, he can really, his life that is written in Scripture, the things that are written in Scripture about him have, they serve as a good example to what can happen to us as we go through our highs and our lows in ministry. And if you ever want to really see, you know, some of the highs and lows in ministry, look at what Elijah had to go through. Okay? Now, first of all, we know that his job was to stand as the voice of the Lord to the people of God during the time that Ahab and Jezebel were reigning over the nation. And we have to understand that with that spirit, the spirit of Elijah is a confrontational anointing. Okay? We need the spirit, amen, to, in this hour, to confront the spirit of this age. And I tell our church all the time, you know, we live in this culture, what we call pop culture, popular culture, whatever, you know, and we seem to get sucked in by this culture. But Christianity should not be a part of that culture. Christianity is not a subculture. Christianity is a counterculture. What does that mean? That means that we are supposed to go against the grain of this culture that we live in. Okay? In the society that we live in, sex and violence and drugs and all those things are part of our culture. This is part of what this world indulges itself in and has given itself to. And as the body of Christ, we have to be able to stand against that particular culture. We need the spirit and the power that rested on Elijah to confront the generation that we live in now, amen, and to come against the spirit of this age. There's no way that you can be a prophet in this hour and not walk in the spirit and the power of Elijah, because you got to have a mindset that goes against the grain of where you live. Amen. You've got to be able to stand against, amen, the teachings on the false god and false gods and idolatry. Amen. And in this nation, amen, idolatry is not just the raising up of other idols. Yes, we have people today who still worship idols, but today the biggest idol is the flesh. Today the biggest idol is me. I. Amen. And I often say, if I can get off the throne, then Jesus can reign. And so we got to get to the place that we come against the culture. Amen. When you read in the book of Acts, it talks about the church, amen, the early church, and the scripture says that these are they that have turned the world upside down. And, I mean, we nowadays, we ain't turning nothing upside down. And we've got to get in the place with God that we go against what this culture is teaching, what it is trying to indoctrinate into our children. Amen. These are things that are part of the prophet's ministry. The prophet's job is not just to prophesy. The prophet's job is not just to say, I see a house, I see a car. Amen. Those little frivolous, and to me those are frivolous prophecies, because, you know, those deal with your natural needs. And we already know that the word of God tells us that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So our needs are not even that important. Those are menial things. The most important thing is the spiritual state of a people. Amen. And so the spirit and the power of Elijah must come so that we can come against the spirit of this age. And so that, amen, we can set, amen, a direction that the church has got to go in. So if you're a prophet, amen, then this should be your prayer. God, send the spirit and the power of Elijah, and Lord, send it through me. That has got to be your prayer. Amen. Because you have got to stand out in the crowd. Your ministry or God's ministry through you should not look like this Hollywood stuff we see on television. If you are a true prophet, you can't even embrace the stuff you see on the Word Network. Amen. On TBN, the Church Channel, Daystar, God TV, whatever channel you're watching. Amen. A true prophet that is in the face of God sees, amen, when we are just playing church, amen, and we're just trying to, you know, have a following, amen, and think that God is truly not anointed. And so this is the message that's needed in this hour. Okay? Elijah's anointing was designated as one of the prophetic mantles that still lingers in the earth today. We need this spirit. Okay, it signifies the spirit of repentance and the return to the true and living God. And I heard somebody say this, you know, this week they were talking, and they were talking about, you know, how we can't know that the scriptures are right, and, you know, you don't know if you're saved until you die and wake up in eternity and find out whatever is, you know, what's gonna be there. Amen. And, you know, it's sad that we are a nation of people that if we can't see it, we can't believe it. And we have got to get the power of God. This power, amen, and the spirit of Elijah is going to bring the power of God back to the church. Okay? And so we have got to be in the place that we can receive this spirit back in this age in which we live. Okay? Elijah's constant conflict was against the false god of Baal. The false god Baal, who frequently was worshipped by Israel in the place of the Lord God. And even in today's society that we live in, we have so many things that are vying for our attention and vying for our affections. Amen. You know, sometimes we can even put our children in the place of God, and we will give them the adoration that belongs only to God. And this is why we have to remind ourselves that it is, we have to keep our focus continually on God. This is the purpose of this ministry. Elijah was upset over Jezebel and all her antics and her foolishness that she was pushing through the kingdom. Amen. And so this has to be our mindset. We cannot, amen, agree with what we see just because somebody puts the name of the Lord on it. You got to know that you know through the word of God what is right and what is wrong. The prophet's ministry is going to put a name on what's right and put a name on what's wrong. Amen? All right, now I'm going to talk to you real quick about Jezebel. Okay? I'll talk to you real quick about Jezebel because sometimes, and I know we've had, a lot of us have, you know, had extensive teaching on Jezebel, and we think that Jezebel is just a woman. Okay, and Jezebel is not just a woman. Jezebel, amen, in this hour is a spirit that is still lingering in the earth. Excuse me. Okay, and her job, she was a prophetess, call herself a prophetess, amen, and she, amen, was standing outside the temples and, you know, prophesying to people. And the thing that is of most note that we have to pay attention to is that she was building a professional guild, you know, a vocation behind prophecy. And we see people doing that all the time. Okay? We see people all the time, you know, trying to build what they call ministry, trying to build something that they want to call ministry and saying that it's what God has, you know, what God has sanctioned. And basically that spirit of Jezebel is the one that combines business and ministry together and makes it, you know, a conglomerate, and we want to merchandise what God is doing. And so this is the spirit that we have to come against. This is why we have got to have people who are standing against, amen, materialism, and standing against, amen, the spirit of this age, in order that the spirit of God will rule and will reign in our midst, and that God will have his way. Okay. And so before we get into some more of what the prophet is, I want to talk about what the prophet is not. Okay, those of you that are typing questions, amen, while we're online, I'll address your questions after we finish teaching. Okay, a prophet is not just a person who prophesies. Everyone who prophesies is not a prophet. Okay, the body of Christ, anybody in the body of Christ can prophesy. Okay, prophets can be sent. Can be senior ministers in a fellowship. They can be pastors of churches, part of prophetic presbyteries. They can be traveling ministers in whatever other capacity. And I want to emphasize that whatever other capacity that God puts them in. There is no one set rule that says you have got to be a prophet like this. Okay? There's no one set rule. Okay, we have to look to the scripture and see what God has said that we can be and what we can't be. Okay, prophets are receivers of revelation, and they are essential to the body of Christ for establishing through confirmation, correction, and direction. Okay, amen. And if whoever this is that is typing, and if you have a problem with women preachers, then all you have to do is disconnect yourself from this teaching. Because we'll talk about that another time. Amen? Because God does anoint women. All right, so the following things that we're going to talk about here are some attributes or giftings of New Testament prophets, and we're going to use these to help us recognize this particular ministry gift. Okay? Now, I want to say this, that each prophet has to seek God to determine his or her specific significance, okay? We all have a specific responsibility in the body of Christ, okay? Just because you have a room full of prophets, that does not mean that they're all going to be the same kinds of prophets or that they're all going to function and flow and minister in the same manner. Everybody, amen, functions in their gifting according to the measure of grace that God has placed upon them. Okay? This is the way that God moves in the church. Okay? One of the attributes of the prophet is the ministry of exhortation or exhorting. Okay? This word, by definition, encompasses counsel, guidance, correction, and motivation. I'm going to say that again. This particular word, by definition, encompasses counsel, guidance, correction, and motivation. 1 Timothy 1:18. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18. And we're going to talk about, amen, the fact that just because God may give you the ability to bring direction does not mean that you are somebody's personal prophet. There is no such thing, okay? Because people try to, you know, say this is my prophet or whatever, whatever, you know, and try to get folks to, you know, prophesy to them like they Miss Cleo or something, you know, to direct every facet and every area of their life. And that is not correct. This is why you have the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is in you to lead you, to guide you into all truth, okay? But God has also put the prophets in the house to be able to help to bring that counsel and guidance and correction and also motivation. 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, "This charge commit I unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." And this is what you have to understand. There is an encouragement that comes through us receiving a word of the Lord. And once you receive the word of the Lord, you have to then, as is stated in this verse, you have got to be able to war a good warfare against the tactics of the enemy and the words that others will try to speak against you, okay, to try to shut you down. You have to use that word that God has spoken to you to be able to war a good warfare. For what reason? In order for you to maintain your ground. Because the enemy will come with testing and trial at times and use people and use circumstances to try to get you off focus, to try to move you out of where God has placed you, okay? And you got to understand that this word guide does not mean that the prophet does the work for you. That means that the prophet is allowed by the Spirit of the Lord, amen, to oversee as you are training, amen. It's like having a teacher to teach you and tutor you as you are being guided and directed into what you should be doing. That's what this means in when we talk about the ministry of guidance or even counsel, okay? Guidance comes through that rhema word, a word that is made alive by the Holy Spirit. The prophet speaks the mind of the Lord. This revelation knowledge can give specific direction for businesses, churches, and individuals. Now, mind you, I'm going to put in a little sidebar here. Remember, we already discussed the fact that the prophet is not supposed to be prophesying concerning this is your husband, this is your wife, you need to marry this one, you need to marry that one, you need to get up and move from here, from there, or whatever. We need to be very careful. I don't even want to use the word careful, but we need to be prayerful about delivering words of that type, because if you mess up somebody else's life, okay, if you mess up somebody else's life, first of all, God is going to hold you accountable, and second of all, you know what I'm saying, they have, you know, people can sue you for stuff like that. So before you, you know, try to speak certain words over people, you need to be in prayer. That's why it's important that your first ministry be to the Lord. And you need to be in prayer and seeking God so that you can hear from God and know what he is speaking to you, so you're not going off in your flesh trying to speak a word to people, you know. And sometimes people will come to you and try to get you to prophesy and ask you, do you have a word? Do you have a word? Amen. And you got to have integrity. You have to have the integrity that says, you know what, if God didn't speak, I don't have anything to say. And this is the place that you have to, you know, you got to live in this place. Okay, concerning the church, it is ultimately left up to the eldership of that ministry to follow and obey once a prophetic word has gone forth. You cannot force anybody to follow once you have spoken a word. And it's not your responsibility to try to make anybody follow once you have spoken a word to them. Okay? The only thing that you need to do is you need to just say what God tells you to say and take your seat. Say what he tells you to say and take your seat. That's all you need to do. You know, and sometimes we feel like we have to, well, Lord, they didn't hear me the first time I said it, or Lord, they're not paying attention to what I'm saying, so I need to, you know, I need to try to reemphasize. That's not your job. Your job is to say what God tells you to say and take your seat. It is left up to the eldership of that ministry. If God sends you into a church to bring the word, it is left to them to follow and to implement the word of the Lord once it has been spoken. Okay? God will hold them responsible for whatever decisions that are made or not made. Never try to force a leader to receive and act upon a word that is given. You speak what God has said to you, and the obedience is left to that individual. And this is what you have to understand, and we talked about this some time ago, okay? We do not chase the mailman down because he delivers bills to our house, okay? Mailman, why you bring me this bill? Who told you to bring this bill to my house, okay? We don't do that to the mailman. He is just delivering the mail. Likewise, you are just the mailman. You're not the one, amen, you're not the originator of the message. You are only a receiver of the message, and you are delivering that message to whoever God sends you to, and it is left up to the recipient that once they receive that message, that they act upon it. It is not left to you to make the decision for them. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 16, and verse 6. And this, you know, this will help alleviate a lot of stress. And I used to, you know, early in ministry, you know, because I didn't understand. And I'm saying, well, God, you told me to say thus and so, and I go and I'll tell them what thus saith the Lord. And then when I don't see them acting on it, I'm going back to them and asking them, well, did you do what the Lord said? And, you know, did you receive what God said? And, you know, trying to troubleshoot, you know what I'm saying, after I have delivered the word. That's not my responsibility. That's not my responsibility. That's their responsibility to follow up once they have received a word. Verse 6, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Okay, and I want to look at the fact that in verse 6, okay, the word of the Lord came to them, okay? They were already given instruction. It's left for the people to follow once they get the message. You cannot make anybody do anything. Don't try to make anybody do anything. Deliver the mail and keep going, okay? The prophet also has the ministry of correction. The prophet has been chosen for this ministry, okay? Let's look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 7, okay? Verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Okay? And sometimes, amen, God will deal with us one-on-one. And then other times, God will send a word through his leaders, through his prophets, or even through somebody else in the house, and will bring a correction. That does not mean that you're walking into the church and trying to bulldoze everybody. Amen. You just go in and speak the word of the Lord. This is where we have to work on, you know, delivery. Okay? Because sometimes in our passion and our zeal, amen, we want to run and deliver the message, but we're not taking heed to how we deliver it. Okay? And so we have to work on those things, and we all do, every last one of us. Okay? The other ministry, motivation. The prophet's ministry charges the church to move forward in God's purposes and plans. By way of prophetic proclamations and preaching, the prophet challenges the church to move with God. Not on its own, but to move with God. How can we be God's church and not following God? That doesn't make any sense. Okay? You can't be God's church and not follow God. Today, God is raising up Haggai's to motivate his people to find their place and become all that he has ordained us to be. Okay? Now, even talking about that, we're going to talk about this prophetic charging and that ministry that Haggai had. Okay? We're going to talk about that later on. You know, when we get to the next page, okay? The ministry also that the prophet has been given is that ministry of establishing. The prophet is used to establish the church in different areas. Number one, by bestowing spiritual gifts through prophetic utterance and laying on of hands that a person's ministry may be established. Okay? So, and we know the scripture tells us, lay hands suddenly on no man. Why? Because there, it is symbolic of preparation and sending. You ain't trying to just lay hands on folks. You want to be led by God as you do this, okay? Anointing and activating. God used the prophet in the Old Testament to anoint chosen men as kings and men in leadership. God is still using his prophets to do that today, okay? You see the examples. Samuel anointed David as king. Elijah anointed Elisha as his replacement. Moses, amen, anointed Aaron, amen. Aaron followed Moses, and Moses poured into him, amen. And God raised up Aaron, amen, after Moses. Paul and Barnabas were released by the word and the hand of a prophet and their ministry calling. That you'll find that in Acts chapter 13. Okay, it is also to be noted that this is done as the leading, you know, as the Holy Spirit leads you. And not because you feel like it. Okay, let's look at 1 Timothy 5:22. Well, sometimes we just feel a little zealous and we just want to, you know, I just want to lay hands. No. Lay hands suddenly on no man. And if you are laying hands, there needs to be a purpose behind laying those hands. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:22. It tells us, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins. Keep thyself pure. Why is it that Paul is saying this to Timothy? He's telling him this because when you lay hands on folks and they're not ready, you know, and you send them out and they destroy folks, you had a hand in that. So you have to, amen, understand the power that comes with laying hands on somebody. We got too many people that have been ordained for ministry and they ain't ready. They haven't sat under anybody and received any teaching, any training, any impartation, and they just out there. They just out there. And no matter how many times somebody tells them that they need to sit down and be taught, they will try to force their way because they feel like God has called them and they have a message that they want to share with somebody. No, the message is sit down and get taught. That's the message. Okay? The ministry of the prophet comes to bring, to establish, to set on a firm foundation. This is why we got to be in prayer and be in the presence of God and be led by God. Okay? We know that the apostle establishes and he imparts as well as the prophet. Okay? And at times their ministries seem to be similar, but God has called the prophet and the apostle to work together in ministry. These ministries have got to work together. Okay, we're going to talk about that. Okay, the other ministry of the prophet is laying the foundation. And we just said that together with the apostle, the prophet assists in laying the foundation in the local body. Let's look at Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2:20. The prophet's responsibility, amen, is to come and help to lay that foundation. Why do we need a foundation? You've got to have a right foundation, because if you don't build the house right, the whole thing will collapse on somebody. You got to build the house right. 2:20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This ministry is needed in the body of Christ today. People may differ. People may not agree. They can come up with all kind of theological basis and you know, stories about why they feel like this shouldn't be right and whatever, you know, just like people coming on here trying to talk about women ain't supposed to preach and whatever. Listen, don't listen to the fact that this is a female's voice. Listen to the message. Hear what God is saying. Let's not get caught up in stuff. Let's look at the foundation. Let's work on the foundation that God is trying to lay in his house. Because we have gotten off point and we have run behind all these little things instead of sticking to what God has set in order. Okay? The following things that we're going to go over are some attributes pertaining to foundation laying. Okay? The prophet is also a prophetic planner. He confirms, clarifies, and lays afresh God's design. In other words, the prophet brings confirmation concerning the vision and the direction of the local body. Now, I said confirmation, not going to tell the pastor, well, pastor, you need to do what I'm saying. That's not what I mean when I say that. I'm saying to you that when there is a vision in the house, there should be prophets in that local house that confirm that this vision is of the Lord, or that the church is actually moving in the right direction. Confirmation and affirmation, I want to even say. Okay? Let's look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 29. Real quick. 2 Chronicles 29. 1 second. My pages are getting stuff together. 2 Chronicles 29, and we're going to look at verse 25. Okay. The confirming ministry. That ministry that confirms. Verse 25 says, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophet. David set something in order in the house, and the prophets confirmed that this was the right direction. But see, you know what? Because sometimes we have pastors, and I speak from both spectrums. That God will use his, you know, sometimes the pastors are, see that the prophets are speaking and think that the prophets are trying to take over the house. That's not what I'm saying for you to do. Amen. You are not to try to take over somebody else's house, but you are there to speak the word of the Lord. Remember what we said? Deliver the mail. If something is out of order, then what you do is you speak the word and go about your business. Let God deal with those that get out of order. Okay? And so this is what we, and because we're not accustomed to this ministry, this is why we stand against it. This is why we don't want to hear this, because we're not accustomed to this. We are accustomed to looking at, you know, what took place when Catholicism got hold of the church and ruined the format that God set. And so now we have pastors and bishops who are in charge of church when God has set the apostles and the prophets, amen, to come in and direct the church. We don't want to, you know, people don't want to see that. The pastor is not to be in charge of the church by himself. The pastor needs eyes in the house. The pastor needs the evangelist in the house. The pastor needs the teacher in the house. The pastor needs an apostle in the house, all over the house, so that we have, you know what I'm saying, we will have balance in the body. Okay? The prophet is also a prophetic excavator. The higher the building goes, the deeper you got to dig. Prophets prepare the body to be used of God. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 48. I want to look at this verse here. We cannot expect that God is going to use us in a great way, and we have not made any sacrifices, and by that I mean laying aside the works of our flesh, okay, and not, you know, trying to do things our own way, but following after God, laying aside every weight and every sin, okay. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 48. Let's look at verse 47. It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Okay? And this is what you got to understand. If you are going to go higher in God, the higher you go, the deeper you got to dig. And the prophet's ministry will come to dig, amen, to uncover what things that are not of God in our life and challenge us, amen, to get in place. The prophet's ministry comes to help us to see that there's a deep work that's necessary in our inner man. And if we're not meeting that, you know, that charge, amen, then that will come and confront us, amen, and we have to be able to deal with that. We can't dismiss this area of the prophet's ministry. This is where our emotions get involved. This is where sometimes our feelings get hurt. This is where our emotions are tested. And we'll be able to see whether or not we have the tenacity to stand and be what God is calling us to be. When your depth is challenged. Just like now, we're sitting here dealing with some deep things, and we got folks sitting over here typing, and the only thing you can deal with is the fact that I'm a woman and I'm teaching. You got to come better than that. You got to come better than that. Let's deal with the fact that there are things in the body of Christ that need to be set in order. Amen. There are gifts that God wants to bring forth in the body of Christ. Let's work to build those things. Let's work to bring the will of God to pass. Let's work to see God be glorified in our midst. This is where our heart has got to be. Okay? All right. Let's look, amen. We're going to talk about the prophet's ministry of being detector and inspector, okay? But before that, I want to finish reading this to you. In order to become a mature ministry, we need proper foundation and digging to prepare the ground for its foundation. This is painful, but it's necessary. Excavation is necessary to build a solid foundation. Okay? And so you got to dig deep. We got to dig deeper than, you know what I'm saying, these surface issues. Okay? Now, the prophet as detector and inspector. I want to, you know what? Let's look real quick. Let's look real quick at Ezra. Ezra chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5. Look at Ezra chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 1. This is the ministry we were talking about. We're going to say some more about the ministry of Haggai. It says, then the prophets, verse 1, then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Okay, let's go look at verse 2. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God, helping them. This is part of being able to do this work. We got to have the work of the prophet with us as we, you know what I'm saying, as we go forward in ministry, and as God builds our ministries, we need the ministry of the prophet. We need these ministries working together. Let's also look, stay in the book of Ezra. Let's go to chapter 6 and look at verse 14. And it said that, and the elders and the Jews builded, and they prospered. They prospered, gained ground, were effective through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes of Persia. God called their work. The Jews were building the house of God, and God called their work to prosper at the prophesying of the prophets. So even as we're digging new ground, laying a foundation, making plans, and casting a vision, we got to have some prophets in the house that are able to prophesy and speak the word of the Lord and declare God's word over us while we are building. It's necessary. It's necessary. And I'm not telling you that you can't do it without prophets, because we see churches built all the time without prophets. But there is a prosperity. I'm not talking about, materialism. I'm talking about spiritual prosperity. I'm talking about spiritual weight and spiritual wealth. That's what I'm talking about. There's spiritual wealth that comes through the prophets prophesying. And that's the place where we have to understand the value of the word of the Lord coming out of the mouth of the prophets. All right, the prophet's job as prophetic detector and inspector is that the prophet can see the state of a people. And I don't mean just looking at him and seeing sin that's in their lives. I mean the prophet can see the hurts, the shame, and the state of mind that the people are in as the Lord reveals it to him. Okay? This is a needed ministry because many have gone through hurts and difficulties and are in need of restoration. So if we're going to see people's lives healed and we're going to see them set free by the power of God, then we need this ministry working and being effective. And if we're going to see it effective and we're going to see it working, then that means we have to receive this ministry. We got to receive this ministry that God has already placed in the body. Open yourself and receive this ministry. Be open to what God is doing. Let's not make excuses for why we can't receive what God is doing in the land and what God wants to do in his body. Okay? Prophetic placers. Prophets are used as prophetic placers. They are used to aid leadership to confirm and reveal the various giftings of individuals in the body of Christ. 2 Peter 4 and 10. And while we're looking for 2 Peter, I want to ask a question. Have you ever seen, I think we talked about this before, you ever seen somebody operating in a place of ministry, and you look at them and you just know, why in the world are they there? Or they don't belong there. And you're able to see that they're, you know, working in a place that they shouldn't be in. This is because that is that ministry of the prophet at work. Being able to confirm and see people's giftings and where they should fit in the body of Christ. Okay? 2 Peter 4 and 10. 1 Peter 4. Okay, as every man hath received the gifts, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have a responsibility that once you have received this gift and you see that there are people out of place, you have to minister. You have to let God use you to minister to help the house flow right. You receive this grace not so you can say, oh, bless you, prophet of God, so people can be in awe of you. That's not why you're here. You are here because God wants to take your gift and use it to build his body. That's what he wants you to do with it. Most people in the church have no idea which motivational gifts, and you'll find that in Romans 12, 6 through 8. Spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. They don't have any idea which gifts they possess and are called to be stewards over. The prophet helps individuals find their place of function and helps to equip them. Helps them find their place and helps to equip them which means that if you're a prophet, you should have a teaching ministry. Your job as a prophet is not just to prophesy. You should be a teaching prophet. Remember, we talked about that guide. That guide oversees training. Teaching prophets. Okay? Helping people to get in their positions. Helping them to attain, amen, effectiveness and growth in the spirit so they can do and be everything that God called them to do and be. And if you're going to do this, that means you can't be selfish. That means that you're going to have to learn to give up yourself, and you got to deal with your insecurities. You can't allow your insecurities to keep you from pouring into other people's lives because you think that they're going to pass you, you know, or surpass what you're doing. But see, that's true ministry, that your sons and your daughters should be able to do more than what you do. And we talked about that before in a previous lesson. Jesus said, greater works shall you do. Sons and daughters should be doing greater works than what their fathers did. That's what we should be, and we should be encouraging greater works instead of being intimidated by one another and trying to put our foot on each other's necks and trying to keep each other from, well, if you're going to do so-and-so, then I'm going to do this and this. There's no competition in the body of Christ. It should be in competition in the body of Christ. Okay? If we find our place, find our purpose, and flow in that place that God has called us to flow in, do you know that people's lives will be transformed? Do you know that the church will be the church and will be unmistakably the church? And that's what we want to be. We want to be able to stand out in the crowd. We want people to be able to see that this is what God has blessed. Amen. And not just any old thing, because God's not going to just bless any old thing. All right? So if we're going to see people's lives healed, if we're going to see them set free, we got to do these things. Okay? The prophet aids in helping individuals find their place of function and helps to equip them in the areas they have been given that grace to function in. If God has placed, if he's given you that grace to teach, then teach. Somebody needs that teaching ministry. If he has made you, and we should all have the ministry of prayer, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We should all have a prayer ministry, praying and interceding for one another. Let's bless each other by praying for each other. Okay, the last thing that we want to talk about tonight is that prophetic charger. The New Testament idea is one of a military command. When you start talking about a charger, okay, this should be 1 Timothy. This is a typo in your manual. This should be 1 Timothy 1 and 8, and we did read 1 Timothy 1 and 8, but let's go back and let's read that again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, sorry. I'm sorry, no, verse 8, okay. 1 Timothy 1 and 8. 1 Timothy 1 and 8. We were at 18, sorry. We know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Okay? This is where the prophet has a responsibility, amen, to put forth what God has laid the foundation for. Okay? If we're talking about being in command, then we have to walk according to the scripture. Okay? If we're going to charge people, then we have to do it according to the word of God. We can't come out with our own thing. You know, we can't come up with our own ideas. We have to do this according to the will of God. Okay? And this is not just for those just entering ministry, but God will use the prophet to charge leadership and challenge them to be daring in their faith. And I believe that every leader, and the Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. Every leader should have somebody walking with them that sharpens their spirit, that is like that iron that sharpens them. Okay? Every leader should have somebody that pours into them, pours back into them. And I'm going to tell you something. It's nothing wrong with, after you have poured into your sons and daughters, they should be able to pour back. You want them to grow up to the place that they're able to pour back into you. we have come up with this crazy mentality. I'm in charge. So nobody can prophesy to me because I'm the one who prophesies. Nobody can minister to me or lay hands on me. Sometimes some pastors are so unapproachable. And you can't even minister back to them. And God can be speaking to you to minister to them. But you have to just sit, you know, in the distance and watch them go through because they're not receptive. We have got to be able to pour into each other's lives. We see that even in the book of Acts, Paul was ministered to by others. He was prophesied to by others. Even after he was going forth and God was using him and he was, you know, going through all the persecution that he had to face, he still received words of the Lord through the other prophets, female prophets, and male prophets in the book of Acts. And so you got to be able to see that God is able, he wants to use you, and he wants to get beyond every barrier, and he wants to use you to encourage and be iron to your leaders. That's the purpose of, that's part of the purpose of this course is to help to equip you so that when you go and be in your local church, that you have grown from what you have received so that you can be effective while you're there, so that you can walk in the place and walk under that grace that God has placed in your life, so that you're not just there taking up space, but you're being effective and that God is using you and speaking to you and speaking through you. And then you're one less person that, you know, the pastor has to worry about, or the apostle, or whoever is your overseer or your pastor at the time has to worry about, oh, God, I got to go deal with her again, or I got to go deal with him again. When are we going to get to the place where we can pour back into people's lives? And not just taking all the time, but being able to receive and pour back. And so that means that we have to get rid of selfishness and stop thinking about just ourselves. And we talked about this in a much earlier lesson where we talked about when you go to church on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, Friday nights, Tuesday nights, whichever nights you have service, you should walk in there with the mentality, God, I'm here in the midst of your people to fellowship, and whatever you want to use me to say tonight, Lord, encourage your people through me tonight. Lord, whoever needs an encouragement, whoever needs a word of the Lord tonight, God, help me to hear your voice so that I can speak to your people tonight. This is what we got to be available so that God can use us. Let's begin to challenge our leaders to step out on faith and do what God has called them to do. Okay? You should be able to, the prophet should be able to walk next to that leader, and as you are confirming and affirming that vision that God has spoken, that the house, amen, that God has placed you in should be able to prosper at your prophesying. Just like Haggai. That God could use you to speak a word of the Lord to your leader, and that you would be able to be an encouragement, be an asset in that body. Okay? The prophet is used to push the church forward and not allow her to become stagnant. And let's talk about being stagnant, because you cannot drink stagnant water. Because stagnant water, if it doesn't get moving, that water gets filled with bacteria and it's good for nothing. You have got to be in a place of flowing. The church needs to be able to be in a place where she is flowing. Flowing with the move of God, flowing with the words of the Lord. And so it is the prophet's job to come in and sound that alarm. This is the shaking and the waking ministry of the prophet. And you'll see that in Joel 3:9. It is a waking ministry. You know, we all have the tendency, we're just, you know, we get lax, we get lazy. We lose our momentum, we lose our passion, we lose our zeal, and we need prophets to come and wake us up and sound the alarm and, you know, and stir us up again so that we can fulfill the call of God that is upon our lives. Okay? And I have a little note here at the bottom of the page, and it says, when a potential leader harbors leadership ambitions, a ambitions before he is properly prepared, he is courting disastrous failures. Adequate preparation coupled with rich experience is the key to successful administration. If you're going to be a successful leader, if you're going to be a successful prophet, if you're going to be a successful evangelist, any gift that God has called you to be, if you're going to be successful just working in helps ministry, you got to be prepared for that ministry. You cannot just jump out there because you have a desire and you zealous. You have to have zeal and some training. You have to have zeal, amen, and somebody pouring into you to help you get to that place to be able to bring whatever God has put in you to pass. This is where we have got to be. And if I can reemphasize anything, it is those verses that we read in Ezra 5 and verse 1 and 2 and chapter 6 and verse 14. The ministry, the house, the church is going to be able to prosper at the prophesying of the prophets. Get in place and speak the word. Let God use you to stir up the leaders in the house. Open your eyes and see what need is needed, you know, what's needed in the house. Find a gap and fill it. Find what place needs to be taken care of, and you get there. Stop complaining that something ain't done in the house. You get there and do it. And when you get there and you fill those places, you will begin to see God moving in the house and God, amen, setting his people in place. That's what we want to see. We want to see the body of Christ functioning as a body. We want to see all five fingers on the hand. We don't want the pinky out of place. We don't want the thumb out of place. We don't want the pointer finger out of place. We don't want to lose any. We want everybody. We want the whole hand in place. Every finger operating like it should. So that the body can be all that God has ordained for it to be. No matter what plans and plots and tricks and traps the enemy has, amen, we already know that Jesus has said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We shall prevail, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so if we're going to stand on that word, then we need to get in place so that we can take back all the ground that we have given up because we have rejected the ministries that God has set in place. Amen. And we have not allowed them to function and flow like they should. And because of that, it has hindered our progress. It has hindered what God wants to do in the midst of us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this teaching tonight. I thank you for speaking to the hearts of your people. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that has been under the sound of my voice tonight that have heard the word tonight. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are encouraging and you're teaching and training us and preparing us for the work that lays ahead of us. And God, I pray, God, that you would stir up every one of us and that, God, we would do what you call us to do, that, Father, we would not be lazy, that, Lord, that you would let your will be done in us, whatever ministry that you have called us to, that we would do it and do it as unto you, that you get the glory and honor for it. God, that whatever the needs are in our respective churches, that you would raise us up, God, to fill the need in the house, that we would be encouragers to our leaders, that we would, Lord God, prophesy, oh God, that the house, oh God, may prosper, that the work of the house may prosper, that the building of the house may prosper, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I come against the work of the enemy that will fight against progress in your house, that will fight against, oh God, your people being built up, that will fight against these gifts being manifested, oh God, in the house, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're saying and all that you're doing in this hour. We give you honor and thanksgiving. Lord, we bind the hands of the enemy right now, God, in the name of Jesus, and we come against every plot, every plan, every trick, and every trap of the enemy right now. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to just be in place to speak the word, and I thank you for each one that has heard the word. Now, God, call us to be doers of this word in Jesus' name, and God, we honor you and magnify you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right.